Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 38 for our second reading. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, In the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning, that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes failed with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, if you remember, the last time we spoke about Isaiah last week, I said that these four chapters were a pivot wheel, that we had the beginning of the book and the end of the book, and chapters 36, 37, 38, 39, make a kind of a pivot, a transitioning into those, into what many theologians call the book of comfort, which is chapters 40 through 66 in the book of Isaiah. And so what we have here then in those first two chapters, the great Assyrian power of the day And now what we're doing is we are introducing, although not yet, he's out there. You know he's coming in the next chapter. He's waiting at the curtain, ready to make his appearance, Babylon. He hasn't made it yet. We're setting it up. And so in chapter 38, we are readying the stage, if you will, the stage of human history for the ascendancy of Babylon. And yet it is also a very gracious, a very, like the Puritans used to say, a very quaint scene that we have described here in Isaiah chapter 38. And I would also say, and please, if I can get you to come with me just a little bit, it is a covenantal chapter as well. And let me show you what I mean by that. So Hezekiah is sick, and he's sick unto death, and the Lord sends Isaiah. We're not told in the chapter whether or not Hezekiah called for Isaiah or not. The chapter doesn't say. There are other times when Hezekiah did indeed call for Isaiah. It may simply be that the Lord sent Isaiah directly without a call from Hezekiah to tell him about his sickness. And Isaiah has a hard word for the king. Put your house in order. You're about to die. Now we could stop right there, and pastorally I could go on and I could speak. I think I could wax pretty eloquently on how it is that man is born into this life on his way to death. Right? You remember that. That when our first father Adam sinned, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, and that the day we are born, we begin that inexorable march to the end of our lives. You remember with me that last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon in ancient Hebrew prose speaks of people growing old and dying, as it were, through the figure of a house that is falling down. We are taught in Scripture to number our days by Moses, the man who presided over 1.5 million or 2 million funerals in 40 years. We are reminded by him in Psalm 90 to number our days that we may get us a heart of wisdom, or apply our hearts unto wisdom. And so let me just leave you right there to remember that Hezekiah is apprised of that. It comes to his present thoughts right now when Isaiah comes to him and he says what? Put your affairs in order. You will die. Now some theologians or some commentators have ridiculed Hezekiah here. It is almost as if they're saying, looks like Hezekiah got himself into a little of a hissy or a little of a pity party because he... if you will, in the picture that they paint, could have sort of stuck out his lip and turned himself over to the wall. Felt sorry for himself. I think Dr. Young has it much better, that he turns himself to the wall that he may apply his heart to prayer without distraction. And the prayer of Hezekiah, brothers and sisters, is very interesting. I want you to look at it with me for one more minute here. Notice, Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee and in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Some have taken that to mean something like this. Well, Lord, I've done good for you. You should do good for me. Some have said that what Hezekiah was doing here is he was pleading a kind of mercenary spirit, that he had done so well and so many great things for the Lord, and this was the Lord's repayment of that. I think what Hezekiah is speaking about here, and I think this is verified in the Lord's answer to him, that Hezekiah is calling to his present thoughts, not just the threat of death from the prophet, but he is also calling to mind Psalm 89 as a son of David. And what did the Lord promise to those regal sons of David in Psalm 89? If he keeps my commandments. I will bless him. If he is a faithful king, I will bless him. But if he turns away from me and in his regal pursuits turns away from my name, then I will chastise him with the rod of men. And Hezekiah is saying, Lord, remember the promise that you made covenantally to my father David, to men just like me through him, that if our reigns were the kinds of reigns that promoted thy kingdom, remember what you said you would do. Hezekiah is not pleading mercenary righteousness here. He is praying to the Lord concerning the Lord's promise of his own covenantal fidelity to the faithful sons of David, especially exemplified in Christ. Now notice the Lord's answer. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, notice, the God of David thy father. How does the Lord answer him? Well, he answers him with the covenant. He answers him with, I remember the promise I made to David. You see, all this sickness, this illness, the sending of Hezekiah, it was simply a reminder to Hezekiah to call upon the Lord in that covenant promise of Psalm 89. Hezekiah calling upon the Lord in that covenant promise of Psalm 89, the Lord responds with that very covenant promise, I am the God of David, thy father. And so, brothers and sisters, we must read this through the lens of the Davidic covenant. And understanding that, then, we understand that the life of Hezekiah, these 15 more years, is nothing but a redemptive historical picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Hezekiah says when he goes on to talk about the life that God has given him when death was threatened to him. The living, they shall praise thee. And so on. So it is indeed a covenantal chapter. As Hezekiah speaks to the Lord out of that portion of Psalm 89 that speaks of the sons of David, and the Lord responds with, I am the God of David thy father, and I will give thee 15 more years. Thus for the beginning of the chapter. And then we have the writing of Hezekiah. And I emphasize that word, writing. And the reason I do that is because we have heard the arguments against exclusive psalmody based on Isaiah chapter 38. A very dear friend and former elder in the church of Sheboygan, when that church was first constituted into the RPCGA, argued against exclusive psalmody. He's no longer there. He argued against exclusive psalmody from Isaiah chapter 38, and we sat down and we talked through that, and that man went away, as we often say, silenced but unconvinced. The difficulty with calling what Hezekiah writes here is as a psalm is that the very first word of this discourse doesn't call it a psalm at all, but calls it a writing. We've all heard the psalm term miktam, right? Miktam. A miktam of David. And we think of that as a wisdom psalm. Sometimes it's called a golden psalm, if you will. And so some have allowed the similarity of the sound of the words to color their interpretation of the rest of the passage. Because this is not a miktam of David. A miktam of Hezekiah. It is a miktav. And the word miktav is used only a very few times in the Old Testament. And that miktav is always used for an official proclamation of the king. That's what a miktav is. It's an official writing. It's something that a town crier will carry to the nation and present to them as the official proclamation of the king. That's what a miktav is. And so Hezekiah writes so that it may be proclaimed throughout the land, so that they will know of the wondrous grace of God to their king, Hezekiah. It's a miktav. It's not a psalm, if you will. And then, of course, the question that follows is, oh, but Pastor Riddell, apparently you didn't read verse 20. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Surely this, verses 9 and following here, this is one of the songs that Hezekiah is talking about. Well, I don't know that at all. And I don't think the text requires that at all. How can a miktav be a song that is sung in the house of the Lord? I don't think the text requires that at all. I think rather Psalm 76 or Psalm 116 are much more likely candidates for what Hezekiah is talking about here. And of course, the word my song there, many have said, well, Hezekiah being no prophet, if he wrote psalms and they were incorporated into the worship of God, then what do we have? We have an uninspired song being sung in the worship of God. Well, I don't know that's the case at all. I know that if Hezekiah was king in Israel, and on his watch there were particular prophets that cared about the holy things of God and the writings of God. And by the way, we know that that took place because from, oh, I don't remember the chapter in the Proverbs now, but it's 20-something. These are the Proverbs which the men, the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah wrote out. Hezekiah was particularly interested in divine works, divine scripture, and had a set of scribes that copied those things out. And so if during Hezekiah's days one of those prophets wrote a psalm and it was incorporated into the worship of God, why would not Hezekiah call it my song, since it took place on his watch? So in order for that argument to obtain, it must be proved that Hezekiah is talking about, number one, songs that he personally wrote, which cannot be proved from the text. That they must be uninspired songs, which cannot be proven from the text. And as many argue, that it refers actually to this song here in this chapter, which is not a song at all, but it is an official proclamation of the king to be sent throughout the nation for its encouragement. So, brothers and sisters, we need not fear the arguments of the opponents of exclusive psalmody who cite from Isaiah chapter 38. Those answers we have already studied, and so we'll not belabor that point any further. But let us not let the polemic argument of exclusive psalmody from this chapter, let us not let that detract from the wonderful covenantal truth that we've learned from the beginning of the chapter. Right? As we have a picture of the resurrection of Christ in the accession to Hezekiah, another 15 years of life. Thus ends the reading then of Isaiah chapter 38, and I'll ask the Wailau family to come.